Welcome to New Gen Network, a podcast online radio show from Ghana, West Africa. Your host is Raphael Okere and co-founder. Gen Writers Club is a show to empowering young African writers to share their writing skills and arts with the world. Join us to listen to our international guest speakers who are ready to inspire and motivate you to your success.
Hello, 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 everyone. You're once again welcome to the New Gen Network podcast show. My name is Raphael Okere, all the way from Ghana, and it's a privilege to have you once again back here. Today, my guest is Mr. Terry Tucker from the US. Mr. Terry is an amazing man. Just before I tell you something small about Mr. Terry, I'd like to remind you that we are still on the One Book, One Child project. And it's been so amazing. Thanks so much to everyone out there. Thanks to Mr. Jack Brayhouse in Arizona. Thanks to my brothers. And thanks to everyone who's been listening to this podcast show. After this episode, you can check beneath for an email to contact us on any way you would like to help in raising books for these kids. Thanks so much for joining us once again. Today I have Mr. Terry. Mr. Terry is so much in one. You know, when you go to the restaurant, you want to get something and they tell you we have a lot of foods in one package. That's the kind of guest I have today. He's a lot of things in one package. He's an amazing man. So Mr. Terry, just to let you know something small about him, he was once a basketball player and he did so well with that. He became a recruit in the police service. He was once an administrator in the hospital. And then he was a customer service also. Oh man, wait, I'm even lost. Mr. Terry, are you still on the line?
Yes, sir, I am.
Thanks so, so much for joining us. See, I'm even lost in trying to list out your portfolio, but yeah, I'm still here. What a privilege. Mr. Terry, can you tell us something small about yourself? A little bit about your basketball journey. I love basketball. It's quite unfortunate I just can't play.
Well, when I first started, I couldn't play very well either. It was something that you can't tell this from my voice, but I'm 6'8" tall. So it was sort of a natural extension to allow me to be able to play basketball. And I actually was very fortunate. I played basketball in college against Michael Jordan, you know, probably one of the greatest basketball players of all times. And sort of a little aside to that, my brother is a basketball coach in Chicago here in the United States, and actually coached Michael Jordan's two sons when they were in high school. So we have a little bit of a relationship with Michael Jordan, which was very exciting. As you mentioned, I've had several jobs. I've done, I've been in the business side of it. I've been in hospital administration. I've been in the police department. I've started my own business, a school security consulting business. I was a coach. I was a girls' high school basketball coach. I've been a motivational speaker. Last year, I became an author. And then I guess for the last 10 years or so, I've kind of been battling this very rare form of cancer.
Yes, and that we are going to start talking about very soon. That is something bad. When I read about everything you've achieved, and I saw that, I was like, what the heck? How did this unfortunate thing came in the scene? When did you discover it?
2012, so it's been almost 10 years. I had a callus break open on the bottom of my foot, and at the time I was coaching basketball, And I initially didn't think much of it because as a coach, you're on your feet a lot during the day. But after a couple weeks when it didn't heal, I went to see a foot doctor, a friend of mine, and he took an x-ray and he said, I think you have a cyst in there and I can cut it out. And he did. And then he sent it off to have it looked at. And then 2 weeks later, I got a call from him, and Raphael, the more difficulty he was having telling me what was going on, obviously the more frightened I was becoming, until he finally just laid it out for me and said, I've been a doctor for 25 years and I have never seen this form of cancer. I have a rare form of melanoma that appears on the bottom of the feet or the palms of the hands, and that's what I've been dealing with.
Wow. Oh man. Tell us, you've been experiencing this for about 9 years, right?
Yeah, almost 10 years, yes.
Wow, because I remember very well that we're supposed to have this conversation long, long ago, like months, but it was quite unfortunate, you know. We exchanged a couple of emails about your health and we waiting on the right time to do this. And yes, today has been the right time. It feels so, so exciting. You know, for so many times, I was just thinking so much about this interview and what is going to happen, because I just wanted to have the feeling that everything was all right. Everything was all right. Now, for this 9 years, or 10 years of you battling this dreadful disease, how has it been for you? What has been the lessons that you've learned throughout these years?
It's been very difficult. I initially had some surgeries to remove the tumor on my foot, and then I had all the lymph nodes in my groin removed, and then I was put on a drug for 5 years that basically gave me severe flu-like symptoms for 2 to 3 days every week after I took the drug, after I took the medicine. And I took those weekly injections for almost 5 years. So imagine having the flu every week for 5 years. And eventually that the drug had to be stopped in 2017 because it became too toxic to my body. And the cancer immediately came back. In 2018, I had my left foot amputated. The disease came back in 2019 in my shin area, in my leg, and I had two more surgeries. And then last year, I had an undiagnosed tumor in my lower leg that grew large enough that it fractured my tibia, my shin bone. And my only recourse right in the middle of the pandemic was I had to have my left leg amputated above the knee. So I've had quite a few surgeries, but I guess what I've learned is that, you know, cancer can take all my physical abilities, all my physical faculties, but cancer can't touch my heart, it can't touch my mind, and it can't touch my soul. And that's really who we are. You know, we're not this body that we're all in. What we really are is our heart, our mind, and our soul. And I've realized that no matter how bad the cancer gets, it can never touch who I really am.
Yes, yes. Even talking from the point of view that the drug interferon, am I right? Interferon.
That's correct.
Got you devastated for a while. It reminds me of my brother as well. I lost my brother a couple of months ago. He was suffering from MS. And even before his demise, he was also put on a drug, injected with a couple of drugs, and that got him, you know, totally not moving, crippled. You know, his legs were not moving, he couldn't do anything for some time. And it reminds me of how sometimes these drugs can be so harmful to the system or to our bodies. I don't know for you, was this something that you find quite a challenge with our medical system. Is it something that you find quite intriguing, even to yourself, that something that you were hoping to heal you later on worsen your situation? How did you find this particular situation?
Yes, I totally agree with you. Yeah, the drug was very hard on me physically. And I'll be honest with you, there were days when I was so sick of being sick that I literally prayed to God to die. I didn't want to do this anymore. I mean, we've all had the flu, you know, in our lives, but to have it every week, and to have it every week for 2 or 3 days, it was taxing on me physically. It was also taxing on me mentally and emotionally. And so I really had to spend a lot of time trying to focus on the positive aspects of this drug keeping me alive to a point where hopefully more therapies would be available to help me fight this disease. And yes, it was terrible. It was one of the worst 5-year periods of my life. And in a way, I was kind of glad when it was over. But on the other hand, I'd become so used to feeling terrible that, you know, it was almost, I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to handle it because I was starting to feel a little bit better physically. And I hadn't felt good in 5 years.
Wow. How is your situation right now? Are you still battling it like on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? Or are you kind of okay right now?
Actually, I'm not okay right now. I have tumors in my lungs, in both lungs. And I go to the hospital for a week and receive a more drugs, different therapies that get injected into my body. And then I have 2 weeks off to heal, and the drugs lower my blood counts, my white blood cells, my red blood cells, my hemoglobin. And so I have to spend a couple weeks sort of healing and bringing my blood work back up to a more normal level. And then I start on the same treatment again. And I've been doing this probably for about 14 to 16 months on this trial drug every 3 weeks. So it's another thing that's very hard on my body. I throw up I don't mean to be too graphic, but I throw up, I shake very violently. I have a fever, I have a headache, I ache, all the, you know, the side effects of this drug. But I guess one thing that I've learned is that when I was playing basketball, and I started playing basketball when I was 9 years old, and I played all the way up through graduating from college till I was 21, that one of the things that team sports, being part of a team, taught me was the importance of being part of something that's bigger than yourself. And you knew, yeah, you know as a team, you know, member, that if you don't do your job, not only do you let yourself down, but you let your teammates down, your coaches down, your fans down, your parents down. And if you think about it, the biggest team game that we all play is this game of life. You know, we're all involved in this game of life. And we, you know, a lot of times we tend to think it's all about us, and it's not. It's not about us. It's not about us individually. It's about us collectively, about us coming together as people, you know, to care about each other and to love each other and to want the best for each other. And if we can do that, then our lives have even more meaning. So I am on this drug that most likely will not save my life, but very well may save the life of somebody else 5 years from now or 10 years from now. And for me, that gives my life so much more meaning.
Wow. I kind of have these thoughts and this belief that all these diseases can actually be healed forever. like permanently, you know, you don't have to go back to it. And I'm saying this from the perspective that I've heard stories down here. In fact, one of my very close friends, who happens to be a herbal practitioner, healed a woman, a nurse, who had cancer in the blood, healed her with just water therapy and one fruit, and that fruit is called soursop. Have you heard of it before?
I have not, no.
Wow. Well, let me see if I can send the name to you real quick. And so this is the name of the fruit. This man actually healed the woman with this fruit and something called water therapy. When to take water, when not to take water, how to take water in positions. And for a couple of weeks, the woman went again for her test and she was so, so good. And so even for me, I believe that we've been blessed with so much things around us that we can be healed from anything, you know, like anything at all that we might be going through. But that is just according to belief and the fact that you never give up in anything you're doing, just like you said. And so that is just an experience I wanted to share. I don't know, do you have something to talk about that?
I appreciate you sharing that with me, because I always, you know, in the United States, we tend to, have medicine be more like, almost like a god, you know, that people turn their entire lives over to a doctor, you know, because that doctor has been to medical school and things like that. And I am not that kind of a person. I want my life to be shaped by the decisions that I made, not by the decisions that either I didn't make or that other people made for me. Now, I ask my doctor a lot of questions. I try to educate myself and learn about my disease and what therapies are out there that could potentially help me. And we tend to focus a lot in the United States on drugs. You know, we use drug therapy a lot, but I really think that, you know, the things that nature provides us, in a lot of cases, can, as you said, you know, here's a fruit that this woman was cured by taking, you know, and I've never even heard of it. So it certainly is something I'm going to look into.
Yeah. So according to the man, this soursop, it's very juicy. It's very sweet. And one thing about vegetables and fruits is that some of these cancer cells, or let me just not say cancer cells, these cancer cells don't like them. You know, when you take it into your system, they begin to feed on it. And depending on the number of antioxidants in it, you know, these cells, all I'm saying, viruses are not able to grow well when they eat some of these things. Fruits, vegetables, herbs, consistent intake of water. They don't like it. Make them feel very, very uncomfortable. And that prevents their growth in your system. If one thing that the medical world think of so much when you're battling with cancer is to cut it off. And per what I've learned from some of these people, cutting it off is not the solution. Like, it's not the solution at all. It's just like, you know, cutting down a very huge tree which has a little bit of plants around, surrounding it, and you think that you've cut a big tree, and so those small ones are never gonna come up. They are definitely gonna come up. And, you know, reading your story, I've never even heard it from a typical patient explaining like how you did. When I read your story, it explained it exactly how these people told me. And It was just like that. And so I believe strongly, just like you said, it can't always be healed. It can't always, you can always get back on track. You know, if you just forgo all the junk, all the intake of fatty foods and oily foods, those are the major cause of all these things. If you can forgo all of them, do your water, do your fruits, your vegetables, on the regular, these cells or these small, I don't know what to call them, they would always feed on these things. And these are the things they don't like. These are the things they can never grow around. Onions, tomatoes, carrots, name them. You know, that is just the solution. But we don't have them often. You know, like when my brother was going through whatever he was going through, he didn't have this sort of coaching from the doctors. And we were trying as much as possible to do it, but he was also all about whatever they told him, because he believes that they have been through school and they know whatever they are doing. And at the end of the day, it was bad for all of us. And that is something that I've always entrusted that we can always work on, even from the fact that we keep on believing, we never give up. Like you said, it boils back to your beliefs. And that is one thing that I want us to also talk about, that what key things like has these processes that you've been through taught you? What are some of the truths, the beliefs that you've come across that you always feel like sharing with people around you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I will give you what I call my four truths. And these are just four sentences. I have them on a piece of paper on my desk that I see multiple times during the day. Wow. And for me, I guess I look at them as they're almost like the bedrock of my soul, so to speak. They're a good place to build a good life off of. And so I'll give them to you. The first one is this: you need to control your mind, or your mind is going to control you. And
exactly.
I remember when I was back in high school, I had had several knee operations, knee surgeries. And when I went back to play basketball, my mind, my brain was putting all these negative thoughts into my mind. And, you know, things like I was a step slower and coaches didn't want to recruit me to play in college. And I was like, wait a minute, no, that's not true. I am still playing at an elite level and coaches are still interested in having me come with them to play at their college or their university. So I had to change the narrative. I had to flip the switch in my mind to something positive. And, you know, we have 60 to 70,000 thoughts that go through our brains every day. So it's not easy for us to recognize all those negative thoughts and then to say, wait a minute, I've got to change that into something positive. But that's what we need to do. That's what controlling your brain, or it's going to control you, means. So that's the first one. The second one is this: we need to embrace the pain and the difficulty that we all experience in life and use that pain and difficulty to make us a stronger and more determined individual.
Yes.
I always recommend to people that every day of your life, you should do one thing that makes you uncomfortable, that scares you, that makes you nervous, that is potentially embarrassing to you. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. You know, maybe you're worried about calling somebody on the phone or something like that, you know? And so go ahead and do that. You know, it's a little bit scary, but do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because if you do those small things, those small uncomfortable things every day, when the big things in your life happen, as you mentioned, you lost your brother, you know, you could potentially lose a job, you might be living out of your car, whatever that ends up being, is that you'll be able to handle those things because you've already challenged yourself in a different way. And I guess the other part of that is, you know, our brains are hardwired to avoid pain and discomfort and to seek pleasure. So we tend to want to run from pain. We want to get away from it. We don't like it. But what I'm suggesting is just the opposite. Instead of running from it, take it, use it, flip it inside yourself and use it as fuel or burn it as energy to make you a stronger and more determined individual. So that's